With the overseas stuff, I think it's different because with the overseas, like, you know, we've got a set format that we have to that we're following, and we're adhering to that because it will be chaotic otherwise, because there's so many fans, there's so many people involved, and you know that it becomes all this thing about data and, you know,
GDPR
and all that, and GDPR and all that kind of stuff. So you need to be a bit, you know, smart with it,
savvy
about it. So that concept's a bit different, but the whole coming together and being together, that's worked. It's worked a lot. The stories that have come out from the OSC since we started it are amazing. Some of the stories are. I mean, I can share some if you want.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
And you got.
I know how you started as well with.
Yeah, I have it started. Yes. How Punjabi Blue started, or the OSC started?
The OSC, yeah.
Okay, so the OSC started was.
Well, what started first? And then go.
Punjabi Blues.
Okay, yeah, hang on. Yeah. As you start that.
So Punjabi Blues was like, you know, we knew there was other groups out there. You know, you back in the day, you had the Manchester Sings, It's a Sip or the Dugout, if you remember. And then you'd have all the turbans on that, yeah. And then you had the Wolves lot. They had a good turnout, it was Punjabi Wolves. And then for me, it was just a no-brainer because we had a set group. Like, it was it's my family. So it's literally my first cousins and my uncles who were all blue noses, even all the girls in that as well. So even the wives were all, everyone's a blue nose in our family.
How do you manage not having any Villa Snake in there? That's unbelievable.
We got one of my cousins is a Villa fan because his uncle on his mom's side is a Villa fan. But I had him standing at Wembley at the Autoglass.
Yeah.
95. Yeah. Singing shit on the Villa. So it's gone, mate.
Excellent.
Excellent. I quashed him off, and you know he's with us. But honestly, there's like on my mum's side, there's four uncles, all Villa, all Blues, and they've all got two sons. And then there's me and my brother, and there's a lot of us. And then
you've already got a clan.
We had a clan anyway. Yeah. So having Punjabi Blues, because we're all from Punjab, we're all Sikhs, we're all from Punjab. You know, there's two sides of Punjab as well. There's the India side, there's the Pakistan side. So from our side, in the India side, it was just a no-brainer, Punjabi Blues. Mm-hmm. I spelled it the right way, the other spelled it the wrong way.
I said to Stephen Scott, I seen a snippet of Sky Sports News, and they put Punjabi, haven't they?
Yeah, with the A, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because the word Punjab means five rivers.
This is what we're also asking, exactly.
Okay, so Punjab means five rivers. So the Panj is the number five. So let's say you got Ekdo, Tenjar, Panj. And it's spelled P-A-N-J. And Ab means river. A-B is the river. So that's what Punjab is. We spell it the right way. We don't spell it the way that it was when it was colonized and written with the, you know, by the British.
Does that get you goat when that's...
No, I don't care, mate. As I've gone older, I just do things when I read my history and I go through things and it just changes the way it changes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like Bombay. We used to be called Bombay, but it was never called Bombay. It was always called Mumbai. Mm-hmm. But obviously when the Raj come, they called it Bombay. And then now they've reverted back to Mumbai. Yeah. So it was for years and years, all my life, it was Bombay, you know, B-O-M-B-A-Y.
Yeah.
But now it's gone back to this original name of Mumbai.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, still things like that, but it's just history, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Things change.
So how did you kind of progress from forming to, so becoming what you are now?
Yeah, so then we had Punjabi Blues. We had the family group. So obviously any event, any time we're together, we're all together. We got, you know, all our blues flags, all the rest of it. We've been to all the games together from the 90s, you know, even as the kids, as soon as I started driving it in like 94, 95, you know, I'm taking the young guns with me and, you know, I'm just following my uncles really that have been coming since the 70s and 80s. And then, you know, like friends, Indian friends that sort of join on. And then, like, they've got their kids as well. And they just started growing. So we've got a photograph, actually, of us. Quite an old photograph. A couple of people have passed now, you know. And it's really nice to see that photograph. And I've got it in my office, actually, at home. That, you know, it's a reminder of how it used to be. You know what I mean?
It's really nice, that is.
It is really nice, to be fair. And it's great that there was only a few people that really started it. So when you look at people like Reno, like my uncle Boots, and then you've got, you know, like you've got your Mandes and your Harbors and your Simon and all these boys, you know, all these Indian lads. There's a few more, you know, I don't know them all. There's a guy called Suki. He used to come on, the radio after every game, and he'd get on the radio to Tom and he'd be like, "Hi Suki, how you doing Suki, blah, blah, blah." And everyone, you know, 5 o'clock, you get in the car and you got, you know, he's going to come on and talk some trash to Tom in it. And
they ever got Bronx up?
Yeah, probably did. He probably got the bumper sticker and everything. But, but you know, it was one of those ones, isn't it? And it's just, so then obviously when the overseas started, it was the club. I used to do a lot of EDI work here before the OSC started. So this is in the Chinese times. Come here, we used to try and see if we could help. Like, we used to work in an external group, there was about 10 of us, and we used to see if we could like help improve things around the stadium in a hard time, really, where the owners didn't really want to support anything that we did. But it was simple things like getting radar keys for disabled fans to use the disabled toilets. They had like a sort of like, you know, traffic light system about behavior and all that kind of stuff, and generally it was just for well-being of, you know, different, you know, age and, you know, race and, you know, with all people, misogynist comments and stuff like that in the stadium, all that kind of stuff, you know, trying to bring it together and
stuff,
just trying to do a little bit. And it was a stadium that was falling apart.
I was going to say, you had an uphill task at that time, didn't you?
Oh, it was horrible, mate. And, you know, we had support from people like Ian Dutton, and there was support from Jake Malbasso, who works here. He works in the foundation now, really good people. And they all worked really hard. And then Knighthead came in. So at that time, I got asked to go and meet them, in town. It was a crazy experience. They just come. They were in Cornwall Roberts, some hotel, I forgot the name of it now. And I got there and I was like, sure, this is, you know, a job. And sat down and like,
job interview.
I sat right next to Tom Wagner. And I just like, on a square table, like, you know, there's that. And everyone was in the room, you know, from your Craig Gardens to your old pals to the whole of Knighthead, Jeremy Dales, John Clarks, the whole lot, you know what I mean? It was crazy. But I bought them all Indian sweets. I'll tell you the story. Yeah, I never told no one this really. So I bought them all what we call jalebi. Yeah, it's like a orange, twirly little Indian sweet. And I had little boxes of them. And I gave them out to everyone. I got up and I walked around. I had a big bag in my hand. Yeah. And they were like, what are you doing this for? I go, well, when someone comes to your house, you always give them a gift, isn't it? Like, give them something sweet to eat. And I go, so you've come to our house. So I welcome you to our house, isn't it?
Yes. Excellent.
You know what I mean?
Love it.
And yeah. To me, it meant everything, really. And I mean, they all took when Craig goes, oh, I don't eat sweets. I'll give it to the kids.
Oh, we're all going to cry.
Yeah, give it to the kids. But, you know, no, it was really good, man. And it was to say that we, as the fans, this is our home, you know, and people will come and people will go, and it will be my home. It'll be my kids' home and their kids' home. And same for you guys as well. And, you know what I mean? It means a lot to us.
Yeah.
But they always see, it was something the club wanted to do. The club wanted to put something together where, at that time, they were getting a lot of issues where lots of fans are calling in via different ways, emails, phone calls, visiting, going to reception, going to the ticket office, whichever way, yeah.
Carnage.
Yeah, carnage, basically, yeah. And they're going through other medium, other places as well, like people are in boxes, all sorts of ways, yeah. And it just really wasn't working. At the same time, we've had 10, 12 years of where we've lost a generation of football fans, you know, so we've lost that kind of affinity with the city, with the fan base, you know. And my regular time coming to Blues was I would drive here, park up, I'd go to the George, we'd stand outside the George, have a drink, walk into this side of the hill and over here, and that was it. Go to your seat and sit down, and that's it, done. You know what I mean?
3-0 down, 60 minutes, go back to the George.
Basically, yeah, that's what it was.
Banana, you know what I mean? Sambuco. Yeah, there was no experience as such, was there?
There was nothing at all, nah. And so when they start talking and, you know, they're coming up with the ideas, at first it's like, it doesn't make sense. You don't see how it's going to work. But when it started, it was insane. Like, we went from zero,
right?
Now, I've got to put a perspective on this. people think that the football club look after this thing and deal with it. They don't. This is all fan-led, completely. And it is really, really hard work. All that Blues did as a football club was help us create the infrastructure of what it should be, the initial infrastructure that it was, which is not even that anymore. So they helped us start that off.
And then it's all on your backs.
And then since that day, it's been on us from that day. So there's like, I started off with a team of like four people. And we grew from zero branches and zero members to 12 branches, which were like your core branches that they sent to us. They recommended that we had like an Armed Forces one, you know, like the Punjabi Blues one, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like a women's one, that one, to cover those kind of like areas. Broad strokes. We had an ODSC, which is for disabled fans. Anyway, so we've gone from that to now it's like 80 branches worldwide. And we've got 7,000, just under 8,000 members that pay £10 a year to be part of this whole thing. I mean, it's only been 2 years.
Right.
So, and this is before we even hit the sports quarter and things get silly.
Yeah, mate.
And with the success that hopefully brings.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, I mean, I was here yesterday and, like, you know, the point of the meetings is really to come here to discuss, right, so we want to move forward now. You know, we want to speak to, we want our fans that are in Australia that had a meetup for the Coventry game.
Yeah.
100 Australians, Blue Noses got together and watched a game. You know, what can we do for them? That's what we want to see more of. Mm. You know what I mean? We got fans in New York that have got like a place that a pub they'll go to right by Knighthead. But Knighthead didn't do that. They did it because they knew where the Knighthead building was or whatever. I don't even know where it is. Yeah, and they found this bar.
So that's Waterland Fair.
Yeah, and they landed there, and so they all come together and they all drink and whatever. You know what I mean? And watch games together. You know, people in Dallas and LA, and you're thinking, and you're getting invites as well. I mean, I got an invite. Oh, I can't afford to go out there, but I went out to Ireland not long ago, just before Christmas. They were on my case, all the Irish overseas. Good people, very good people. I was went there for the night, and there was like about 100 of us in Brannigans.
Brilliant.
Met a cracking night, man. It was brilliant, man. You know what I mean? Well, and you just think, how surreal is this that as Blues fans, 2 years ago, we had nothing. We had broken seats and broken stadium, and all of a sudden now we've got, you know, international fans coming together and.
Well, you've had your head on a documentary that's gone out to millions, haven't you?
Yeah.
To be fair, I was going through some of your media clips. So what was it like all of a sudden being like having to be media savvy, and all of a sudden it's
it's weird, man.
You had no formal training?
Nah, nothing. Nothing at all. I just
it's the natural.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm natural or I don't know what it is, but I just try and say, well, I'll be myself to be authentic.
You come across as yourself.
Oh, yeah. I don't really think that I'd five to five. It's easy when you're talking about something you love.
Yeah.
You know, if it's about something that you don't really know a lot about.
So do you like it?
It becomes very difficult. Then you know you could stutter and.
Yeah.
You can talk about Blues till the cows come on, but yeah. You know, so the OSC stuff quickly. It's like what we built and the beauty of what I. Like about it is we were able post-COVID, right? Yeah. Were able to get people out of their houses that weren't coming to Blues anymore. And the best people I've spoken to who told me that, you know, Suk, like directly to myself, was telling me, you know, Suk, I've been sat at home since COVID finished. I'm not going back to work. I'm got, you know, mental issues with regarding like going out and socializing. And we finally got those people at the beginning to either to go to a pub, to go and sit with fellow Blues fans and just talk about football.
Prime, you know, cycle. That's a side of it you don't really think of, isn't it, when you think about sports clubs like that? No. I know you've facilitated transport to and from certain areas as well.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Which is a massive thing, I know, for people that can't get down here.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, like, you know, we've got one coach that comes from Northfield, you know, and Paul Dell runs Northfield OSC, and he's also the vice chair of the OSC as well. But he told me a quick story that was about two elderly members who said, oh, we're not going to go to the Blues no more. And he said, why? He goes, because we can't drive. We've got over 70, can't drive no more. Well, he goes, well, just jump on this coach and you can go to all the games. So they were literally going to give their season tickets up. And all of a sudden now, they're able to come to every single home game because of that.
Brilliant.
You know, I met this old couple at Redditch OSC, went to a meeting with them, and her name was Norma, and I forgot her husband's name now. And she was like nearly in tears, telling me that how she hadn't seen the new statue and she hadn't been down since the lower stands were put back in. And I said, why? She goes, I can't walk up the steps and stuff. And I said, really? I said, look, and I go, would you like to go? And she went, yeah. So with the power that we're given to speak to these people, I spoke to the club. I said, listen, I want to bring this lady to the Blues. Her husband's still got an ST, but I want you to move him for one game. Bring her in so she can come with the lift straight in and just be able to sit down. And we brought her here for a home game. And you know what? It was amazing.
Brilliant.
And but people don't see that.
No.
But I'm talking about it now, but really, no one really knows about that stuff. You know?
And I'm going to touch on it. We didn't put it in here. I feel like you get a load of shit out of the OSCs, particularly around the final debacle, which was highly... But Twitter seems to... Oh, is this the OSCs? Is this the OSCs?
Yeah,
I feel like you get like a lot of...
Considering the voluntary thing they're doing as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people say this to me a lot about, oh, do you get, you know, you get a lot of shit. Yeah. And I said, I don't get it personally.
No.
But I said, if I see someone on Twitter and he's like, oh, it's the OSC lot doing this or the, oh, I mean, it's just childish, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, my thing would be, there's a lot of substance behind what we do. There's a lot of help and a lot of support that we give a lot of people. And I think if you can see that and you can see what we are doing, then maybe you wouldn't be that way.
Yeah.
And I think we have turned a lot of heads over time. Maybe that's us as a collective, you know, when you're talking to people in the stands and, you know, on away days. I mean, I speak to everybody and I'm happy to speak to everyone as well on a level, you know what I mean? But I
think... Do you ever just fancy just being a Blues fan for the day? See if we get to the pond.
I'd love to, mate. No, well, I am really. I'm effing and blinded just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What I mean, like, is, you know, obviously you work.
Yeah. But
how, with the scale of how quickly it's all moved, how do you manage your time around life and your family and work and then this as well, which is obviously...
I got a really
grown especially
at the moment. It's
a good start.
It's a very patient wife. She understands my love for this football club, and I'm stuck, am I, in a way, because now it's got to where it's got, and what do I do now?
This is the thing. It's kind of like, talk back to like Ian Dutton when he took the job, and then he was at... People were asking him to help and broke down on the motorway on Twitter, and because he answered a few people, all of a sudden then you've got to answer everyone. And
yeah.
Like you say, you walked yourself down an alley, didn't you, a little bit? But
sometimes, yeah. I mean, I try and share it out a little bit nowadays, but it's all... Look, it's like this, isn't it? I went to an away game, Shrewsbury away last season, yeah. There was like a group of elderly fans, very elderly fans, and they were asking me about how that they can't get here to get their tickets for away games. So I literally was able to make a phone call there and then, and whatever their issue was, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I was able to speak to the ticket office and get it resolved there and then, which made it better for them going forward. That's the way it needs to be, you know? So if I'm that point of contact at the moment, or our team is that point of contact, then so be it. Because if it's for the great and good, and it improves people's lives coming to Blues, then why not? Because if it's me today, it's going to be somebody else tomorrow. You know, obviously I'm not going to be doing this forever, but I'll do it to my best ability until the time comes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's the whole, one of the main reasons to get you on, to explain that to, in layman's terms, to say, oh, this is what we're doing. Because, like, again, you're just doing it quietly, the good work and stuff, aren't you? You don't shout and go, this is what we are doing. Like you said, just you're going about your business and sorting out older people. And
oh, well, there's loads of it.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, that one, the even like a Punjabi Blues thing, like I had a lad, I didn't know him at all. He's messaged me through Twitter. He said, oh, you know, I see pictures of you and your family. You know, my daughter comes with me to every home game, my son does as well, but he's back from uni. And he said, I see you at Blues. He goes, is it all right? And I go, what do you mean? And I didn't understand the question, yeah. And I go, is it safe? And I went, yeah, I've been coming here for 30 odd years. I go, it's fine, there's no issue. And he goes, I want to come back, watch Blues play. I want to bring my daughter. And I said, do it, man. And he comes out, and this season now, he's got, that was 2023, 24. He's now got a season ticket. You know, comes with his little daughter, and he, you know, young Pakistani guy from around this area, and he's been wanting to come here for ages, but because he didn't see, you know, the social media
perceptions about it.
Yeah, so social media has its good and its bad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So the negative stuff about you see about the OSC, but the positives that come out of it, and gives people that sort of like feeling that they can reach out and do and ask questions. I don't mind that, to be fair.
No, it's a wild thing to be blind to, even for us, that you'd think that there's people that feel that way, because football's just, you could have football, didn't you?
Yeah.
But to know these people that are kind of come with, you know, it's eye-opening.
And look at Blues now. It's like, we come here, like I mentioned earlier, you used to literally come to the pub, have a couple of pints, straight into the stadium, watch the game, go home. You literally knew the 5-6 people around you.
Yeah.
You didn't know anyone else. Now, I can guarantee you, every single fan that comes here has at least 10, 15 people to say hello to, minimum.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, our community's gone smaller. We've got all these WhatsApp groups and, you know, we've got all these OSCs and we've got all these other groups and stuff as well. So it ain't just about the pub anymore. So there's so many different ways of people looking to communicate.
It's Birmingham City experience, isn't it?
Now it is, yeah.
So it's like I said, an experience and keeping, it's a business idea, great business idea, keep everyone here and getting spending and stuff like that, isn't it?
Well, it's even like after now, isn't it, with the keeping the DJ on the roof and after the game, serving beers after. Because we did it ourselves the other week, like, we got to the joke, you know, should we just have 1 hour? Clean it up, we've spent another 100 quid here. So it's quite clever from the club.
Yeah.
But they've got to give something to make it that way, haven't they? So the entertainment's there. The kids want to stay there. They put the canopy up, which is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's clever, but yeah, it's astute, but it is also benefiting everyone around the club. How did you get into the charity work through Punjab Blues?
So as a Sikh, part of my religion, our religion, is to be very, you know, to do a lot of charitable stuff and be involved with that kind of stuff. We go to the temple and we pray, and then every time after you pray, you go and have langar, which is food. So you have a food that's prepared, and all the food, all the ingredients are bought in by the community, and they're cooked by the community, and we put our dishes there. They're washed by the community, and they, you know, everything's done by the community. Yeah. So I was sat there and I was talking to my dad. And this is years back now. I was talking to my dad. I said, you know what? I go, we go there. I go, the reason we had langar was because it was to help people. You know, like, so you go into the temple, you're speaking to God, but at the same time, you're getting to have a meal as well, a hot meal, you know, and it was like, it's a vegetarian meal. It's universal. So anyone can have it. So even if you don't eat pork or you don't eat beef or, you know, you don't, whatever, you can have that because it's vegetarian. Yeah, it's like a lentil or a vegetable dish. Yeah. Anyway, so I said that should be in the street. And at that time, there was like a thing where people were doing, you know, going out into the streets and, you know, seeing poor people and, you know, and less fortunate people, not poor people, less fortunate people, homeless people, yeah. Try to do off, you know, give food out. So this thing started that I think someone's ever touched on it before on one of your other podcasts, MLSS, Middle Langar Seva Society. They do a feed every single day in Birmingham. They've been doing it for 13 years.
Is that what
Tracy Patterson was talking about it, yeah. So I think Aaron Bazzi's got involved with it as well. So I know them really, really well. They now do those feeds all over the country, and it's every day. So before Bradabi Blues, before any of that, as a family, we used to go and do these feeds. So obviously I never put that on social media or anything like that because it didn't make any sense. It would be silly really, but you know. So we got involved with that. It made us feel good, you know, to be able to do that, help people out. You know, and then as the Punjabi Blues thing grew and as the OSC grew, I took on like a permanent day with them. So I said, so every last Tuesday of every single month, I will do a homeless feed. I will bring the food and I will bring the volunteers. And they said thank you, because that's what helps them. Because if you think about it, you know, 30 days in a month or 31 days in a month, you know, really? Every day they've got to manage that. I said, I'll take one day off you, but you don't have to think. You know what I mean? And so we've took that day. We've been doing it for a long, long time now. And, you know, it costs us a certain amount of money every month, but we get it together. Mm-hmm. And it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I want to turn up one day and we've wasted all the money. I want to turn up one day and there's no one there.
I was going to say, the fact that there's a demand for every single day, every month, these people rely on.
Yeah, and you could probably do more. Is that what you're saying? You kind of
I'd like to turn up and there's nothing there because everything's been, people are looked after.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the city, the way it is, it's not being, the people are not being looked after properly. The way that the country is and the way that things are now, it's so difficult. And I'm not just talking about homeless people. I'm not talking about expats. Just, I'm talking about people that are just struggling, generally just struggling. And they'll be there and you can see they've just come from work. You know, like they wear that lanyard. Mm. They've still got the lanyards around their neck. And but we're having to help them out. And I think I've got a lot of respect for a person like that, because how difficult it must be for that person to go and stand in that line.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? It's hard, man.
It's insane, isn't it? That you can go to work and you still can't be in a position to comfortably live and comfortably feed yourself, and you've actually got to use these services.
You've got to be, especially, I'll say blokes, but sort of for a bloke to be like, okay, I admit that I need to be able to eat, and I'm doing all this and I'm still not eating. But you stand there thinking, geez, man, what's going on with it?
It's crazy, mate. We literally serve, but it's roughly about 170 to 200 people a night. So you just do the maths on that for a year.
Why?
What's going on in this city?
And you've never put any of this out on the socials?
We share, like, so what we started doing when we took the whole thing out of our doing it every month, obviously through the OSC stuff, we have to we share some of the graphics because of, you know, what we want other people to get involved with this, because obviously
it's active volunteers.
It's difficult, you know what I mean? So we need volunteers. And a few people have come. I mean, there's one lady I know called Helen. She's a Blues fan. They've got an OSC. It's North and East Yorkshire. So she came from Yorkshire, Blues fan, bought down a massive car full of clothes, like just before Christmas. And we did all the food and everything. We did all the food. She bought the clothes. And I mean, she bought a lot of clothes. I said to her, you bought too much. But it literally went in about half an hour, the whole lot did. Because it was, first she bought quality gear. So she bought a lot of fleeces and other jumpers, hats, scarves, everything. And we were able to distribute these. She made sanitary bags and stuff for the ladies, you know what I mean? So all the personal items and everything. And you know what? This is what it's about, man. And she lives up there, and she came here and helped me. You know what I mean? And there's loads of people that are. It's insane, mate. And without the OSC stuff, I wouldn't have that.
Yeah, no.
I wouldn't have that support. But generally, it's not me, my brother, one of our very close friends. You know, the three of us, we run that. We've been doing it. And we just, even when we've got some months, we don't get nobody. We just do it anyway. You know, we do, no matter what, we won't give it up ever.
That's brilliant.
I did the Christmas feed last year. Not this Christmas gone, the Christmas before. So they do a feed in New Street Station for all the homeless people. And it's amazing. So I was very fortunate to be invited to serve on one of the days just before Christmas. I think it was Christmas Eve. I had, remember Brandon Kayla?
Yeah.
So Brandon came down.
Is it Bradford now? Did the signing permit?
Is that Peterborough?
Peterborough.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. When I'm Lawrence Bradford, didn't
they? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So Brandon came down, his dad, his mum, and then their other brother that plays for Leicester in the, I think it's in the under 21s, I think. I'm not too sure, yeah. But very nice family, yeah. They came and supported it as well. It was really good to see. Didn't get invited this time because I think they invited them lock down the road, some of their Punjabi lot. But you know, it's fair.
Yeah, man. So yeah, that's great, isn't it? We'll have that one.
It's all love, really, in the end for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Just
going back slightly, you know, you said about the lad who contacted you, obviously, all right, down there. do you feel the Blues is reflecting the diversity on the city today, and you're happy with where we're at with it, or is there still a lot of work to be done in regards to the stands and people, and how do you think we're getting on with it?
Well, as in like how we respect each other on the stands?
Yeah.
As like
everything.
Race,
colour, creed, sex, yeah.
I mean, look, I've been coming here for such a long time. I just stand down there, you know. It was, you know, whether it was the old stands and on.
You're not in the pocket of the guy next to you, them days.
Like my uncle used to make me, when we was walking from the Bradford Arms, Brighton Arms, over that mound, come here. He used to make me put the kind of carding in my trousers because naked and such a kid, yeah. So I used to do that, yeah. And we used to walk in and come in, yeah. And I'll tell you what, no one's ever said nothing to me. As I've grown for my whole life, no one's ever said nothing to me, yeah. And I've not ever felt it, never fought it, nothing, yeah. But I know that it does happen with people, and I know that people go through stuff here. I would like to think that as a society, we are sort of like getting past this bullshit, if I could say that.
Okay.
Yeah. And on the other side of things, you know, people using the misogynist comments and all the rest of it. I think a lot of that's all died off, to be fair. You could tell in the chants as well, we don't do them really much anymore. It's all pretty much died off, that is. But,
and you find with the fans now that we'd be the first ones to call that out if there was any misogynistic comments or racism go everywhere, if it ever did happen, or any chance, I feel like the fans next to be like, quote a lot.
Yeah, but
it's 2026.
Yeah, man, of course. I mean, look, we pride ourselves on being the number one multicultural football fan base in the whole country. So if we're gonna be that, then live by it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If you got a guy or a girl or whatever, then and they want to be racist and that, and they want to say something, then don't start throwing up Zeds and, you know, pretending that you're something that you're not, or, you know what I mean, or any of that, or even being affiliated to any of that.
Yeah. It's quite nice, because I've seen your interview with Sky Sports regarding racism in football, and you'd said that, hadn't you, in the time that you've been down here, you've not experienced it. No. And even kind of with the misogyny, we've got family that come down, our sister comes down, we've never seen it, she's never been a part of it or experienced it. But obviously, if people are experiencing it, then it needs stamping out. But it's nice that I don't know anyone to a woman or someone that will speak to and say, you know, you're having trouble down the Blues. It's never been a thing.
That's probably about the other self-films into it. Again, if they have got qualms, would that be the first point of call? Do you know what I mean?
Yes, that's what they do. So what people don't also realise about the OSC is that every single home game since we've started it, we feed back from all those fans who will feed back to their branch leaders, that all that information then comes to us. We then collect that information and send it to the football club.
Right.
And that's not just about what happens in the stands or in the concourses, it's also about what's broken and what needed fixing. You know, what's the improvements? And we've been doing that from day dot. So things that people have seen, and I'm not taking the credit myself, but as a collective, we have been able to help improve this football club. I can say that quite.
That's what you want out there, though, isn't it? That's what you want people to know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going back quickly as well to like that comment about when I started bringing my daughter here, and when it was, you know, after the stands got ripped up,
yeah,
we all got moved around and stuff, yeah. Mm. So for a bit, I was sitting here in block 19, yeah, and basically, because we used to sit in block 22 before as well, yeah. So I was sitting in block 19, and there was this kid there. I started bringing my daughter now. So there's a kid, some young lad, yeah. He's sitting a few rows back, and he's like saying a lot of stuff about, you know, using the C word and this and that. And I never really noticed it ever in my life, yeah. And I'm sitting, I've got this young daughter next to me, very young daughter, yeah. I'm like, that ain't right.
Fuming.
That wasn't fuming. I was like, that isn't right.
Mm.
So I just got up and I said, listen, son. I go, be upset, get angry, that's fine, but watch the words, man. Because some of the words don't need to be said. And you've got a lot of young families around you, young people. Yeah, I go, have a bit of respect, like, you know what I mean?
I think that's where the culture's changed a little bit, isn't it? Cause it's probably the same for you when you were younger coming down. But when we first came down, this was a place where you could hear the naughty words, and this was a place where you could say the naughty words.
Yeah.
When you go home, you can't say, but whatever you hear down here, you hear down here, it doesn't go home.
Yeah, no, it's true. 100% correct.
But culturally, as a culture, we've moved on, haven't we? We've changed.
So for certain words.
The C-bomb, though, has never been acceptable, I don't
think. No. And it was like, it wasn't even the way, I think sometimes, when someone swears, it's like, it's okay. Yeah. I don't know how this is, mate. Some people say stuff and it just, you know, it's okay because it's said in the right context or whatever.
It's not scathing.
You know, like when he's some spoiled little brat kid and he's just swearing for the sake of swearing. It was literally that. And I'm like, fuck. Do you know what I mean? And then as soon as I'd said it, a few other blokes, oh, thank God someone's hold. And I was like, just childish. Just being kids, you know what I mean? Because like you just said, this is the place you come to and you can swear and get away with it, but you can't do it at home. So they've come here and they're like,
that's it, yeah. But this, yeah, certain words are the tipping points,
and
now.
And it's constant, and it doesn't even fit in with what's going on in the game.
Yeah.
You just want
to. It's irrelevant.
Yeah. The game. They're not even,
like,
there's no play in the ring.
They're
having a drinks break. It's like,
Don't kick off another 20. Yeah.
290 asses. Is anybody who's run?
On the pitch.
So, it's literally that. But, yeah, otherwise, I think it's generally all right, to be fair.
So, when we were just going to get invited to the unveiling, but so when it got unveiled, then it was International Week, weren't it? It was a slow news week, it just hit and landed, and with the chimneys and with it just being as mad as it looked,
something like 10 million engagements, wasn't it?
It was mad, but don't you think it's like if we had just built the bowl that everybody wanted, that everyone normal kind of stuff, they would
this
be like,
is the modern thing,
is boring, and you know, this is what everyone does, and you just pick it up and put it anywhere kind of job. So then what they have created is something that is totally unique,
but it's culturally relevant to Birmingham, isn't it? That's the point.
Of course it is. I mean, it is.
They're not just there for, you know, chimney sweep work. It's there because culturally Birmingham and the area that it's being built in, this is where chimneys wide.
So this is where the industry is. So the songs and that, chimney boys.
It's all like take it all.
They're so quick, aren't they? It's probably the same. I'm not fans, but I would think blues fans are some of the quickest, witted, humorous fans in the country.
Do you know what it is? We don't give no one a chance to take the piss.
First.
We're doing it anyway. You know what I mean? So, I like that.
This was the thing with the song the other week, wasn't it, as well? The backwards and sideways, wherever we go.
Yeah.
So it's like, I imagine that. No, I wasn't there. Was you there?
Yeah.
You start the song.
I'm not that clever.
Well, you look at that, and if I'm Chris Davis, I'm taking that personally. You know what I mean? It's when the away fans start getting self-deprecating.
Hopefully not personally, but like maybe.
I would. I think
it probably may have.
I think the interview ran after, but then the next game, and then where we go more direct and we play more effective, less possession-based football, it's like a breath of fresh air, isn't it?
I mean, that game at Watford, it was like, what's fucking going on? Like, why have we turned up?
Yeah.
It's New Year's Day, man. Like, turn up. You know, recognise that you probably had an amazing Christmas with your families, you know, because you're able to provide and give everything that you can, you know. And there's a lot of people here that can't do that. But blues is their love. They love blues. You know, this is a wage day. This might have been someone's bloody Christmas present.
Yeah.
You don't know, innit?
I'll tip my hat to the away support for blues.
Unbelievable.
Because obviously from the dark days and even Wayne Rooney, even back to like Lee Clark.
Oh, God.
To be away every week, and it's not cheap, is it? It's hundreds of pounds, travel, drink, food, especially if there's multiple here. I think the club is so lucky to have the away support that it's got.
Rooney's first away game, Middlesbrough away, I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. I was like, what the fuck is this shit? Sorry for swearing. I'm all right.
Don't be, we're talking about Wayne Rooney.
What is fucking going on here? You know what I mean? And it infuriates. But I do enjoy an away day, though. And it does cost us money. Cost everyone money. I mean, there's people have been going for centuries, you know, it feels like it anyway.
Yeah. Why life, Philip?
Yeah. But it's crazy, man.
We went to Huddersfield, didn't we? The last away game, we got relegated. And everyone's starting on each other, and Cocooners getting a lot of pelters, Stansfield's getting pelters.
Yeah.
And it's like, but those days are behind us.
We had Burns, before Christmas.
I've seen it either.
And he goes there, and he don't even get out of the concourse all the time.
He just goes
to the bar. My mom's I don't know.
I couldn't do that.
It's a long way to go. I suppose we watched it on the telly and got the same atmosphere. But yeah,
there's loads of fans like that though. Yeah, come up to us. What's the score? This is a room with you know the Jimmy that comes on demos.
Yeah.
What's the score? Fucking hilarious.
Could we have an honourable mention for Mr. Hopkins? Because I know you put some photos up.
Yes, mate. Yeah. I mean, look, I know Hoppy from my uncle's always like he always told me who you know Mr. Hopkins is. Yeah, and I was like, okay, this is Hoppy. He was my mate. Hoppy's my mate. So for years and years, we got loads of photos of him. You know, because every time you're going away, or you're outside the George back then, or you know, you're in the fan parks now, Hoppy's there, you know, and it's like you just don't think people like that are ever gonna go. You just think they're gonna be there forever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's some iconic Blues fans. I mean, this guy played for Blues, but he's an iconic fan. The biggest
Blues fan ever.
Ever.
Well, his stories like the badge over the Villa badge. Yeah, hilarious with him.
And you know what? He was such a nice man. You know, he spoke to everybody, just happy, and everyone loved him. Mm. He is Mr. Blues, but yeah. Definitely 100%.
Such a shame. We were due to have him on in Feb.
Oh.
And then we was doing Tony Colton last Saturday.
Yeah.
And Tony's really good mate to him. And so I messaged him while we were having lunch after and just said, oh, Hoppy's been rushed in. And he's gutted with it. But he's just, such a gentleman. I've played against him a couple of times for the ex-professional footballers and stuff. And he's still a decent player, but he's always just there and he's always in the bar after. Having a beer and having the Blues banter. And he just never gets bored of it. And I think he come across sometimes that he pinches himself. He played for the Blues, being a Blues fan still after all this time. It's like a mad...
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think that's something we're losing as well? The last generation where they'll come and they'll have a drink with the fans and they're still a part of the club. So it's quite important to try and hold on to those players, isn't it, and keep them relevant as far as we're moving forward and everything's the future.
I don't think there's anyone left. Whatever you got now, is that it? That's it. You know, you got Damari Gray plays for Blues now. Do you see Damari Gray sitting in the George in 10 years' time having a beer? I know. Not a knock on him. But the way that the world is and the way that society is, you know, Troy, I mean, he was here for a short stint, but he's not in the pub with everyone. And he's a local boy as well. Mm-hmm. They're both local. I just don't see it. I mean, you know, you got Martin Granger, he's up and down around Blues, mm-hmm. You know.
The Horse, you see him occasionally. Yeah, he's off the scene. Steph Tatey when he was on the beer and around, but that generation's gone, but... I think that reflects sometimes on the pitch as well, doesn't it? Like the likes of the people who are from Birmingham just seem to give you that percentage, a little bit percentage more. Do you know what I mean? If you're a Blues fan playing for Blues that you see from the stands. I don't know if you feel that way.
No, I do, yeah. I think it's like tomorrow if we played them like down the road, yeah.
We were close, weren't we, in that draw now.
You know, people are like, oh, we don't want to play them tomorrow. I'm like, listen, on our day here, I'm not just... You know, it is a different atmosphere.
Yeah,
and players can turn up.
Newcastle game shows that, didn't it?
Yes, exactly that. So players do turn up, and I know that if Damari was playing in that game, he'd be right on it, and he'd be winding these like all up or getting him G'd up to say, "Listen, I'm a Brummie, and this is really, really important." You know, because he's still one of us.
Yeah, so, understands.
Yeah. You 100% he understands because we feel it hard. Like that whole week. You know, whenever we play, it's
stressing it.
And then you got the messages and the phone calls and, you know, and all that stuff going on. So
I said it within the draw. Come on, I said, not their place. I said, oh my.
Yeah, here, not the other. But yeah, I don't know. I think you're right. I think it is dying out. And I think that's just the way that football players are nowadays.
Brilliant.
Just finally then, before we wrap up, is there a message for you as... Mr. Singh of the OSC looks after all these people. to the Blues fans that may not know, obviously we've covered a lot of what you do and the great work that doesn't kind of have a spotlight on it. Is there any message that you'd like to kind of leave for the Blues fans? Stop messaging me on Sunday nights.
Yeah.
Well, Mrs. is getting more and more impatient.
I think the message is, you know what? Don't take life so seriously. Yeah. Just calm down the Blues and enjoy it. Yeah. For good and for bad. Joys and sorrows, yeah. Because end of the day, no matter what happens, no matter who we sign, no matter who we don't sign, we're always going to be loving Blues no matter what, you know? So don't take it so seriously sometimes. Just come down and enjoy yourselves. That's all I was there.
Keep right on.
Keep right on, man.